Go talk to the geniuses that are online.
Recorded during the Falcons-Seahawks Monday Night Football game, it's time to Belichick your premises. And if you know a friend who could use his or her, because we don't discriminate here in the Midside, premises Belichicked, send them all over to our show. We love to check people's premises, except when we're watching in the bar in public. That doesn't get fun then. Then you just kind of have to be nice. Like, I was in the bar the other day watching the game, and the Broncos game was on next to me, and our game was on, which is the Patriots Raiders, and this Broncos fan comes over to me. He like pats me on the shoulder. He's like, "Man, I love what you guys are doing to the Raiders, but I hate you guys." And I'm like, "Did you just neg me? Like, are you a pickup artist?" Like, so I don't like to Belichick people's premises in public. Yeah. Joining me in the Belichicking premises today, Daniel T. Richards.
I am now cresting that hill of being incredibly excited that football is here and starting to go over the slope of there's not enough football left. just starting, not quite, you know, going down the roller coaster yet, but I can see that it's coming, and I started my depression early.
Isn't it crazy how football season is so quick? Doesn't it feel like we just started football season?
It is incredibly short. Yes. There is, yeah. I mean, look, 16 regular season games, 17 weeks. And compare that to, like, goddamn baseball, which I think has, what, 643 million games or something like that. That's the over-under in my mind. And I would take the over. There's just, like, baseball's on all the fucking time.
Baseball, and, basketball, we can ask Midsider Ronnie about hockey, which, by the way, I went to an Anaheim Ducks-Boston Bruins game.
Oh.
And I have to say, just for the sake of fairness to Midsider Ronnie, hockey is very enjoyable to watch live. So it doesn't compare to football.
You know why I can't watch it on TV? Because I've tried. You know why I can't?
Because you can't
never tell
where
the goddamn puck is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they should highlight it in yellow or something.
Yeah, I use the same principle for seats. I picked a seat high up at the midfield. I keep calling it midfield, at the midline stripe, and I could see the whole thing, except when the guy in front of me would lean forward and his head was blocking between two blue lines, but between the blue line and the midline stripe. But I could see the whole ice, the whole rink. So it's definitely a much more enjoyable experience in person, and I'm going to check out a basketball game soon so I can compare all of them, because I haven't been to one of those since I was a kid either. So far it's football, hockey. Sorry, Ronnie.
Nice.
But what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we're talking about how it's almost the playoffs. And that's the thing. Like, you're on the precipice where you're like, okay, you know, you're on the down, there's not enough football left. I'm on that Patriots precipice, and this is how you can tell I'm a spoiled fan. I'm already like, is it the playoffs yet? Because I looked at it, and I told you at halftime, we usually talk during halftime, and I said, the Bills and Dolphins both lost. We've basically clinched the division if we win this game.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just ready for the playoffs.
Think, yeah.
Well, it is pretty crazy to think.
Yeah, unless there's some monumental drop off a cliff with the Patriots, the division is theirs. But that is sort of one of the things I want to talk about, which is, one of our themes for the show this season has been pacing, both on a game level and on a season level, and getting better every game and making sure that you don't peak too early. Well, I think with the routing of the Oakland Raiders this week, 33-8, one has to ask the question, Justin, are the Patriots peaking a little too early?
No, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That is so dumb. This is when you want to peak. You peak now, right? So if we look at our schedule, Google our schedule as we're talking. We're going into the December run. This is when you win the division, and this is when playoff seeding is decided. And then in playoff seeding helps you recalibrate, right? You get a week off. And in that week off, you get to rest, put your plans into place for the different teams you might play because you know what the different iterations of what might happen are. Then in the divisional round, it's tough, but you get to try things out. And then the AFC Championship game is where you want to peak again. And then there's another week off, and you want to peak again in the Super Bowl. So there's essentially three peaks in the season. There's late November through December, the conference championship game, and the Super Bowl. Those are basically three different seasons if you have the first round bye. If you don't have the first round bye, you have to peak a little bit earlier or sustain the momentum you had going into the playoffs. But so much is determined with seeding. We saw this two seasons ago where the Patriots lost in Denver on the fucking bullshit calls against Gronk and everything. Then they went to Denver for the AFC Championship game and lost because of a missed extra point by Gostkowski. You're not telling me, don't try and tell me that if that game was in New England, they wouldn't have gone to the Super Bowl. So you want to peak now because so much is determined by your seeding and by winning the division, but then also you have to get up again in the playoffs.
So what you're saying is that it's not twin peaks, but it's more like total recall peaks.
Yes, nice reference there. I won't even explain that because of the people that are out there. But yeah, all you have to do is look at the Patriots right now. So they're up by three games on the Bills, and they're up by four games on the Dolphins, and the next two games are Dolphins-Bills.
And it's better than that. I don't know if you've looked at the remaining schedule recently.
Yeah,
I remember seeing this at the beginning and thinking this was going to be a weird end of a season.
Yeah, it's Dolphins, Bills,
Dolphins, Steelers, Bills,
Jets. Yeah.
Yes. So five of the last six are conference games.
Crazy. You mean division games? They're all conference.
Sorry. Yeah. They're all conference games.
They're all conference games, they're all division games. They're all conference games, and the only non-division game is against the other team that has the same record as the Patriots in the conference. So it's for the number one seed.
Now, let's be conceited Patriots jerks for a moment and say that this is essentially five wins at a minimum. And let's conceivably the Steelers win that game somehow, even though is it at Gillette or is it at Heinz Stadium?
You're the one who pulled up the schedule.
Patriots at Steelers. So it's at Heinz Field. So
wow, you're really good at reading.
I just this year learned that the order of the teams matters on the
Oh my God, did you?
Yeah, I just assumed when you Googled Patriots, they just put the Patriots first.
Did you?
On everything. And if you Googled Steelers, they put the Steelers first.
Have you noticed in every one of these episodes, I say the home team second? I say the Falcons, Seahawks,
yeah,
Monday Night Football game?
That's basically how I induced that, yes.
Yeah. You're welcome, Midsiders out there who learned that as well. Were you always wondering how I picked the team to go second?
Yeah, I was like, what? There has to be some method to his badness. He's not that random. Now, here's the problem I see for us with the Steelers, which is I think that game is going to determine the first seed because the Steelers' last games are, you ready for this? The Packers, who are terrible. The Bengals, who might be slightly more terrible than the Packers. The Ravens, who are kind of sneaky good.
Where's that game?
That's at Heinz Field.
Ah!
And then the Patriots, and then the Texans, who would have been a tough team, except that now they have Tom Not-So-Savage throwing the ball over there, and then the Browns.
I don't know. Savage kind of had a savage reaction to winning that game on Sunday, but that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, was it the Cardinals after they were playing?
Like, yeah, the dude went nuts, though, if you saw his response to winning.
Yeah, the Cardinals are terrible. Yeah, okay, so I think the Steelers, let's have Pittsburgh fans be a little conceited here. I think the Steelers win all those games, except, you know, the Patriots one is the obvious difficult one.
The only confounding factor here in all of this is rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to have problems with the Dolphins in Miami, and Pittsburgh will have problems with Baltimore, but it is in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it is in Pittsburgh. And the Bengals play the Steelers pretty hard. It's just that fucking Red Ryder BB gun, whatever his name is, I don't know why he's a quarterback. I think you could probably play quarterback as well as Andy Dalton. Just putting that out there. You're welcome.
I don't quite agree with that, but this is still proving my point. The fact that you just said that that one game defines the number one seed, that game's basically a playoff game. So yeah, you need to peak now. Yeah. And that's what, week two of December?
Yes. No, week three. Sorry. Week
so three how close is that to Christmas? Is it right after, right before?
There are technically two games before Christmas. So the Steelers are on the 17th and the Bills are on the 24th.
Okay, but that's close to Christmas. That's the Christmas game, basically. So the Steelers are like the last big game of the regular season. And what I mean by that is we play whatever happens in that game. We play the last two games. The Patriots play the last two games, having the division locked up already. And it's right around the holidays. So it's just you're mentally not in it as much as a player. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the truth of it. It's Christmas Eve you're playing on. Like, it's just, it doesn't have the same feel to it. And then the other one is that fucking weird week between Christmas and New Year's where, like, nobody wants to work and, like, everybody just wants to watch college bowl games. And you know the football players are the same way. So that's that when you're talking about peaking, we basically have two more games to fine-tune before we play our first playoff game against the Steelers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that answer your question?
It does. I just, I don't know. I'm worried. I'm worried because I've never seen a team quite like this that has sort of weirdly gelled and become good. Usually you can see the flourishes of talent and then they sort of gel and are good. And this season it was like,
I don't understand. Did you not see the last time they lost to the Chiefs, got pounded by the Chiefs early on?
I did, but you could still see the flourishes of talent at the beginning of that season. And I couldn't see it in the same way this year. It seemed like it was just like disorganized, and then suddenly it fit together.
I think you need to pay more attention to what is a flourish of talent and what isn't. I wasn't saying you're not observant. I'm just saying look at different things. But is that what you're going to be doing on Thanksgiving, Daniel? Because now the holidays are coming up, and the holidays are football time. Are you going to be watching
football on the holidays? Football time is here. Touchdowns and we cheer.
Did you come up with that, like, today, over the weekend? Like, have you
just
been waiting
now
to do that?
Just now. I'm that good. That's right. I'm that good. What do we do? Oh, so it's interesting because I'm sure this is contrary to your entire experience as a human being, but growing up, I basically did not watch any football on Thanksgiving. I thought it was an enormous waste of my time, and I thought that my family members sitting down to watch football was basically them giving up on life. So, I'm not even kidding. Like, I used to have those thoughts. So, I would do things like, go to my room and read. Or go to my room and work on a project that I wanted to finish, or write, or do graphic design, or anything other than consume football, which I viewed entirely as a passive activity. How contrary to your experience is that?
Well, you would have missed the butt fumble. And aren't your Thanksgiving memories better for having seen the butt fumble?
That's right. That is one of the greatest references in modern pop culture history. Yes.
Look, here's the thing it's just holidays in general, okay? And I don't, like, maybe you can tell me about this, because this is something I'm starting to realize about, like, my girlfriend's family, because I'm going to be spending Thanksgiving there this year. And, like, we're going to be doing things in the morning, and then we're only going over there at, like, 6 p.m., and there is, like, her parents' house is where Thanksgiving is, but we're only going there at like 6 p.m. for dinner, and then we're gonna play like trivia games and shit. And you know, when she originally told me, oh, there would be trivia games, I'm like, oh, we're gonna play games all day, and then we're going to eat dinner, and I'm gonna have to find some time to watch football. Because for me, Thanksgiving has always been an all-day holiday. And when you have these holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, that are all day, and even like New Year's Day, where you don't have work and then you're just supposed to like hang out with your family all day or hang out in one place all day. Like, what are you supposed to do? It's like, thank God football is on. It was the greatest marketing ever. This is why the NBA tried to replicate it with NBA on Christmas. Now, no basketball. We don't need like the basketball version of Midsider Ronnie to be like, well, the NBA did it first. I don't fucking know who did it first. Okay. Fuck you. Maybe I'm
now,
wrong.
Now college football is trying to do with college football on New Year's Eve, which I cannot figure out how they're going to get young people behind that. But anyway.
They got me behind it because I was like, oh, great. No one likes me and I have no plans on New Year's ever. Great. Clemson's playing and beating Ohio State. This is the greatest thing ever.
Turns out you are not the average college football watcher, most of whom are getting blitzed on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so was Ohio State by Clemson last year. So for me, like, football is like, what else am I going to do on Thanksgiving? Like, read? Like, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading, but like, I get to watch something I really love all day rather than like arguing with my family. Like, it's either that or they put on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is like, God, do I need to see the High School Musical kids dance in the street one more time?
Do I have to see a papier-mâché turkey again? I get it. Okay. We're and fabulous with papier-mâché and balloons. I get
here
it.
Here is the Woodstock balloon. Down the street is Snoopy, his best friend. We'll be seeing Snoopy a little bit later. Will we then talk about the Woodstock balloon that we were talking about now, but we're actually talking about the Snoopy balloon?
Well, you know what they're doing with the Thanksgiving Day parade this year, which I don't appreciate? Like, I think you could update the parade and make it more interesting and more cool. But what they're doing with it is they're making it another goddamn concert. So it's like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade with Pitbull and Ariana Grande and this other douche I've never heard of. And I don't get behind that. If you want to do more intricate floats, if you want to do cool engineering things with you know, like animatronic turkeys that are like battling giant baster robot monsters or something, like I could get behind that. But I can't get behind another Ariana Grande concert.
Yeah, but I can, and I bet you can get behind football. Football on Thanksgiving, football in the week between Christmas and New Year's, football on New Year's Eve, football on New Year's Day. Because here's the thing. These games, I watch them, and I don't even know why I'm watching them. Like, especially the bowl games. The bowl games are even worse. But let's look at the slate of games for Thanksgiving football this year.
Let's not.
Vikings, Lions, Chargers, Cowboys, Giants, Redskins. I swear to you, it goes week by week that I keep looking at the Thanksgiving schedule to get excited. And one week I'm like, yeah, these games are terrible. And then the next week I'm like, these games are really good. And then the next week I'm like, these games are terrible.
Yeah, so the Giants-Redskins certainly is the least compelling game on that schedule. The Giants are a hot mess.
Fortunately, here on the West Coast, that is when we'll be eating at 5:30 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Giants are a hot mess. Redskins are finding any way they can to lose. The Vikings-Lions will be somewhat interesting because Matt Stafford seems to not have this ability to die, and the Vikings seem to have this ability to be good until the playoffs. And what was the last one you said?
Chargers-Cowboys. I think that's the most compelling game.
That is the most compelling game. Yeah, and it's because the Cowboys are without Zeke Elliott, and they're kind of bad without him. But the Chargers put up 54 points on the Bills this week in an impressive show of both defensive and offensive dominance. And I would say that if there's a team in the AFC, in my mind, who has a chance to make a playoff run with all the other terrible teams in the AFC, it's the Chargers.
Well, specifically the terrible teams in the AFC West.
Yeah. By the way, media narrative, one of the things we track on this show, go back and Google all the articles before the season about what the most dominant division in football was going to be, and by far, pundits said that the AFC West was going to be the most dominant division of football because it had the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos, all of whom, well, at least the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos were christened preseason to be the new dynasties in football. People think Derek Carr is unbeatable. People think the Broncos' defense is unbeatable. With the move to LA and all the Chargers' new weapons, they looked like a phenomenal team. And then the Chiefs came out, obviously, in week one and put on a great show against the Patriots. It looked like that division was going to own all of football, and they kind of blow. They're kind of terrible. The Chiefs are on a 2-game losing streak. They're 6-4. The Chargers are on a 1-game winning streak. They're 4-6. The Raiders are 4-6. And the Broncos are on a 6-game losing streak.
Woohoo!
At 3-7. They just fired their offensive coordinator today.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, yeah, blame him. It's his fault Brock Osweiler is just quarterback. It's going to be the worst thing in the world. Like, you're the offensive coordinator, and they give you Brock Osweiler, and they fire you for not doing better.
How am I supposed to coordinate this giant vampire of a human being?
I mean, it would be like if they gave you a camera to shoot a movie. They're like, you're going to shoot a movie. Here's your camera, and it's an iPhone 5. Like,
could even spring for an X.
That's the point.
I know. No, I know. That's what I would say to them. How dare you? How dare you get a text message during the show? Tell your girlfriend to go to paint nails or something. Or...
It's actually about something else that I'm not allowed to talk to you about because you haven't seen Justice League yet.
No. Oh, I see. Thursday. Maybe Thursday. Working on it.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so what is the best division in football if it is not the AFC West as the pundits told us it would be? Which teams are performing objectively the best?
Okay, so I'm going to do it by conference, and there's basically three divisions I can look at. The best division in the AFC is the AFC South. Jaguars, Colts, right, they suck. But the Texans were good before Deshaun Watson got hurt, and now, tell me, is the other team the Titans?
Yes, the Titans.
Right, so the Jaguars and Titans are both good. They're both playoff contenders, right? The Jaguars are really good. They finally are putting that all together. The Titans are good. And as I said, the Texans were really good with Deshaun Watson. So they have three really good teams there. Every other division, the other two divisions, the Patriots and Steelers are dominating and there's not much below them. And then when we look at the NFC, we have the NFC West, which is Seahawks and Rams, and then 49ers suck. And then who's the other team in that division?
Cardinals.
Cardinals. So they're middle. They're good. But those top two teams are teams that can turn it on and off, and the Rams are very similar to the Jaguars, young, finally putting it together. And we see what the Seahawks always do. And then the division that I always talk about that nobody listens to me is the NFC South. Every year they keep sending a team to the Super Bowl. Now they lose to the AFC, but they keep sending teams to the Super Bowl. And again, they have a team that looks like a contender here, right? We have the Saints there. But, you know, that's Falcons, Saints, Buccaneers, and Panthers, and all of those teams are, you know, okay or good.
All I can say is I am thrilled that the Patriots got to play the Saints in, what, week two?
Yeah,
week two, because the Saints started the season with two losses, then they shipped Adrian Peterson off to the Cardinals. We're like, fuck that guy. And now they've are on a 8-game winning streak, which is crazy to think about. And then they're dominant in the run game, and they're dominant in the pass game, and their defense ain't half bad either. They are frightening. I would say the NFC South is probably the strongest division in football if I had to pick one, because the Saints 8-2 doing well. The Panthers, much as I fucking hate them, are 7-3 and are doing better than you would expect. And the Falcons, while they're underperforming, are still pretty dangerous. They can go off at any time. They're very inconsistent. But sometimes on the high side of that, they're excellent.
Let's be fair here. The Panthers are 6-4 with some bullshit calls.
The win counts. The win counts. Speaking of Atlanta, by the way, Atlanta's winning 14-0 against Seattle at the moment.
I guess that kind of settles my debate, yeah.
Seattle's secondary is kind of screwed because they lost both Sherman and Earl Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Both their premier.
You know what else is screwed? So. Russell Wilson's haircut. Did you see, like, when they did the, like, graphic when they were introducing the Seahawks starters? I think Sierra told him to get a fade or something. He looks like he's, like, 16 years old. It's ridiculous.
Racism. Mm-hmm.
What the hell did that have to do with racism? I'm 34 and look 12. Like,
you criticized a black person. That's clearly racism.
That's his entire... the podcast. We just say Brady's awesome and everyone else sucks. Like,
I have a nominee for a player for whom I feel the most bad. And Martellus that is Bennett. Mitchell Trubisky. No, Martellus Bennett. What do you mean? He came over to the Patriots and now he's going to win another Super Bowl, maybe. No, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitchell Trubisky, this is your inner Bears fan talking right now,
has done just about everything he can to put his team in position to win. And every single time he does it, his teammates find a way to fuck him over. In this game, he marches them down the field in order to tie the game in the last second. And the
kicker...
Who were
they playing?
They were playing... You were going to ask me that, and I couldn't remember this entire time. They were playing Detroit. A really good team. And Detroit won 27-24. They were about to tie the game, and their kicker, Connor Barth, kicked a field goal to what seemed to be the corner concession stand on, like, the east side of the stadium that had nothing to do with where the actual field goal or the posts are. I've never seen a kick that bad that wasn't, like, a messed up hold or a bad snap, something. It was a perfect snap, perfect hold, and he missed
it. Laces out!
He missed it farther right than Richard Spencer, basically. And just a terrible, terrible...
Did someone punch him after he missed it then?
That's right. Punch a Nazi. No punching him. But poor Mitchell Trubisky. So much pressure on him, and he's actually living up a little bit to the hype. He's just surrounded by dolts.
Stop it. You're a Patriots
Why?
Fan now. You can let go of this,
Patriots
like,
fan.
Inner Bears thing. Like, this is like, are we going to get a co-host who grew up near Cleveland now and is going to update us on, like, the woes of the Browns? Like, oh, man, I feel so
bad for Gordon. The Browns
so
were also in a position to win that game, and then Deshaun Kizer showed his inner terribleness and fumbled at the goal line, and the Jacksonville picked it up to win.
Well, it's like, did you see the Bengals guy almost fumble that? Was that was that ruled a touchdown?
He got stopped. I mean, they eventually did score a touchdown, but he was running all the way down the field and he turned around to gloat and he nearly fumbled the ball back to the other team.
Yeah, he had picked off Brock Osweiler in the end zone and ran all the way to the other one. And just beforehand, he tried to like pull a Leon Lett and like almost lost the ball. Like, just fucking, you guys are dumb. Like, don't brag about a pick six for, like, 103 yards against Brock Osweiler.
Right, that's...
Do that to Tom Brady, fine. Like, go ahead, do whatever you want. But Brock Osweiler, come on.
Yeah. Do you remember the game when the Bengals were playing the Steelers in the playoffs?
Yes.
And was it Vontaze Burfict? Well, for those who didn't watch it, Vontaze Burfict picks off Ben Roethlisberger with, like, a minute 50 to go or something like that and runs it back for a touchdown... And then continues running out of the stadium into the locker room as if the game was over to, like, all these jeers. And then, like, literally with no time left on the clock, Ben Roethlisberger takes him down the field and wins the game. Sort of like in the greatest go fuck yourself ever.
Yeah, Burfict did that. And then what didn't Pac-Man Jones do something? Like, he had a meltdown. It was just like... The greatest meltdown in Cincinnati history. I mean, I don't know if it really was, but it felt like that. And that's an example of teams not being able to overcome this shit. Like, they haven't done anything since that game. That looked like when they were finally going to get over the hump. And that play by Burfict looked like they were finally going to transition into an elite team. And they fell back down and they never were able to get back up again.
And one final note from me, speaking on elite teams.
They needed life alert.
Help! Right. Elite teams. I know the NFC, we don't have to really worry about the NFC until the Super Bowl, honestly, but the Eagles put on an impressive show against Dallas, and they put on an impressive show because they struggled early and they made good adaptations during halftime to come back and dominate the second half of that game.
The word is adjustments, Daniel. Halftime
what did
adjustments.
I say?
Adaptations. They're Never. Like the fucking Borg. They've adapted.
They are like the Borg. They're basically as evil. So I was really impressed by what they were able to do at halftime in order to fix the mistakes they were making in the first half. And then they put up 30 points in the second half on Dallas. So hats off to the Philadelphia Eagles, who look like legit contenders.
I agree with you. I have no doubt that they look like contenders. But here's the thing. It's what I was just telling you at the beginning of the show. So this brings things full circle like we planned this. We didn't plan this, Midsiders. But it works perfectly. The Super Bowl is a different season. I mean, look, the Patriots were 18-0 and lost to the Giants. And look at the last two Patriots Super Bowls. Wasn't everyone convinced the Seahawks and Falcons were much better teams and that they stood no chance? I mean, even the Panthers game, right? Panthers-Broncos, where they got creamed by the Broncos. Everyone said the Panthers were unbeatable. They'd only lost like one game that season.
Yeah.
All look, you get to the Super Bowl. This is why Belichick says one game at a time.
That's how we do it here, too, in the Midside. One show at a time.
All right, who can harass you about saying you're scared of the Eagles? So where can we send the Eagles fans? Because we know they're going to harass you about this.
You can send the Eagles fans to at GoFuckYourself on Twitter, where I will not be replying. But if you would like me to reply, it's at Daniel T. Richards on Twitter or Instagram. And that's the only place I'm going to reply to you, so...
And you can send all sorts of stuff to me, but I'm probably not going to reply because I'm very over social media right now. But it's the Midside on all the different platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, all those platforms at the Midside. Also, if you like this show and want to hear more of us talking about stuff like politics and movies, like if you really want to know what we thought about Justice League, well, me specifically, Daniel hasn't seen it yet, as you already heard, check out our other show, Welcome to the Midside. That's our flagship show. If you're already on iTunes, it's in the feed right there, so just click on the Justice League edition. Or if you can hear me rant about Louis C.K., that's the Louis C.K. edition. Or you can just go to our website, themidside.com/podcast. Thanks for checking in with us this week. Now we're on to the Miami Dolphins.
My face, your face, instant face, go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff.